Hey guys, welcome to podcast number two, and this one's going to be about how to start fishing. First things first, I do want you guys to know that you can support me and give if you'd like. Just go to anchor.fm/fishingwithkate and you could donate. I do want to do fishing as a career one day, and I'll go into that in another, but it would help a lot, but definitely not needed. So how to start fishing? That is a big question. First things first, I would really, if I were you, I'd go to your local Cabela's, Scheels, Bass Pro, Walmart even, and just go to the fishing section. Okay, we're gonna like imagine this. Imagine you're in a fishing section, okay, that you're just standing there. You're like, holy cow, I see like a billion options of rods here. I'm just gonna tell you straight up, this is what you're gonna need to buy first things first. Either you're going to need to go look at the Zebco 33s. You probably don't know what those are if you're just starting fishing. And that's your closed face reel is what they call it. And it's going to be your metal. It looks like a metal ball on a rod. And it has a button. Those are the simplest, most basic fishing rods. Mostly everybody starts on a Zebco 33. And honestly, they're not bad. But if you want to step up, I know I started on a spinning reel. And that's going to be your open exposed bail, and the bail is the main part of the fishing. That's what the fishing line is sitting on. That's what you would call a bail. So it's going to be an exposed bail where you can see the line, and that's why it's the Zebco 33 is called a closed face, if that makes sense. So you're going to want to buy a spinning reel. In my opinion, you can go look at the ugly sticks. They're usually black and with red writing. And those are only going to be around $50. Your basis of starting out money-wise should be around $50 to $60. You don't want to spend a whole lot. I know I started on a Bass Pro Megacast, and I'll still toss that in my car every now and again if I just need a quick two-piece rod. Don't really care about it that much, so I would say start there. $50 to $60 is perfect. Either start with an ugly stick combo, and that's your spinning reel with a rod. I'll go into rods a little bit after we get done with the combos. Or go look at your Fluger. It starts with a P. I don't know why, but go look at your Fluger combos too. Those are going to be a little bit higher end. So your starting point is Zebco 33, and then you can jump up to an ugly stick and then jump up to a Fluger, and then it's all the more, I'd say $100 and above is, I can tell you about those too, but, start there. And then, so reel for reels, spinning reels, your gear ratio is not as important as it is on bait cast. Gear ratios on spinning reels are usually slower just cause it is a bigger bail. And gear ratio is how many times the bail is spinning in regards to the handle turning. Kind of hard to explain, but that'll be your combos. So ugly stick, Zebco 33, Fluger. For line, well, hold on. We're going to switch back, go back to rods. So rods, your basic rod is going to be a 7-foot medium heavy rod. Spinning rods are going to have the bigger eyelets on the rod. And then casting, so your closed face and then your bait casts are going to be the smaller eyelets. So make sure you're getting the right one. So 7-foot medium heavy is perfect. That's the medium heavy stands for how strong the rod is in general. Medium is going to be lighter, so you're going to be fighting panfish a little bit more, and it's more flexible, more sensitive. Medium heavy is more for your bass, your walleye, stuff you're going to need a little bit more backbone for. And then 7-foot is just a good basic starting out length. If you go longer, you're getting more sensitivity. If you go shorter, you're losing that sensitivity. I'm trying to think of what else I could say. Okay, we're just going to switch from that, go to line. Okay, line. You go to that back wall, or ours is on a back wall, but all of the fishing line, there is so many brands, so many options. It's very overwhelming. I know I started on Spiderwire. Not to hate on Spiderwire, but I don't like them. Just as a brand, I don't like their quality. Some will say it's amazing. It's just my opinion. If you get offended, I'm sorry. Not that sorry, but oh well. I would go either 15-pound fluorocarbon. You're going to have three basic lines, and that's your fluorocarbon, your monofilament, and then your braid. So fluorocarbon is going to sink a little bit more than monofilament, and then braid is going to float a little bit more. And then braid, we're just going to put to the side. We're going to just disregard braid for now. Monofilament versus fluorocarbon. So, as I said, fluorocarbon is going to sink a little bit more. It has less memory. So, if you put it on a reel, it's not going to spiral off and lose control on you as much as monofilament would. Monofilament is a little more stretchy, and which is really good when you're fishing walleye or catfish. You do need a little more stretch to your line. So I'd say if you're fishing walleye or catfish, go monofilament, around 10 pound, give or take. I don't fish walleye or catfish. That's just what I've picked up from working in a fishing area. But fluorocarbon I use for bass and crappie and bluegill. Only the one of the big differences too between the two is fluorocarbon is more expensive than monofilament. Okay, we're gonna rewind a little bit more. Monofilament also is it's gonna be cheaper, but it also has way more memory. So that's gonna be where it's gonna spiral off your rod a little bit more and keep that shape of the spool itself, or the original spool, so it'll spiral off your reel more than fluorocarbon would. So moving on, fluorocarbon sinks a little bit more, monofilament floats a little bit more, and you can use monofilament as well for topwater bass, which is really good. For me personally, I go braid, but we set that aside for now, so we'll come back to that. But fluorocarbon. Okay, I'm losing track here. 15-pound fluorocarbon is a good general weight if you're going to bass. Now for crappie and bluegill, I would go about 4 pounds. I'd get so the pound thing is how strong your line is. So the higher the number, the stronger it is. The more likely you are to break off, or yeah, that's it. You're just more likely to break off on a fish. It'll snap your line if you go too light. So crappie, bluegill, since they're smaller fish, since they're biting smaller lures, you do want to get a smaller pound. But then bass, they're a little bit stronger fighters, so I'd go more towards that 15 pound. But the lighter, the better, because some fish can see the line. And they can be finicky, especially if they end up seeing that line. So, that's we'll go color of line now. So color of line, clear versus green versus yellow. I would go clear, especially for fluorocarbon and monofilament, because clear is going to be perfect for your more clear water, and especially murky water. It'll just disappear in that water more so than green. Green is okay if you're fishing a little bit murkier water. And then yellow, that's really for you. The only reason they make yellow line is really for if you're the one who can't see your line and you just want to be able to see it a little bit better. I personally don't know if it affects fish. I used lime green line for a very long time, and I don't think it affected anything. It did help me out tying knots and stuff, just being able to see what I'm doing. Okay, that's fluorocarbon, monofilament, and colors. So along with that, we'll have to go to braid. Now that's a big one. I throw braid on most of my bait casts just because of it's stronger and you get a smaller diameter. So if you imagine, we'll say monofilament is kind of like your we'll say spaghetti noodle. Okay, monofilament is your spaghetti noodle. And then fluorocarbon is your this is really on the spot. is your pencil, okay? And then braid is your fire hose. So that makes if you could imagine that. Braid is strong. But you are getting more braid on your spool because it has such a tight diameter. It's stronger, but it's going to be that same size as the spaghetti noodle. If that makes sense, it's really hard to explain, but braid is just, it's strong. It's way more expensive than fluorocarbon and monofilament, which is good and bad at the same time. Cause then you're investing from the get-go and then you won't have to reinvest. That's where that monofilament, if, you're just going to end up buying, five spools of $7 line, and then you'll probably have to go back and, buy more every now and again. Okay, so we got fishing line mostly covered. Oh, pound for braid, duh. So for braid, pound wise, I would go 20 pound is pretty universal. That's somewhat heavy. 15 pound is what I use for finesse bass fishing. So if I'm throwing, don't hate on me, but I throw finesse bass on a spinning reel. And that's when I'm throwing my wacky rigs, my Texas rigs, and I'll get into that too. I don't know what I am on time right now. yeah, I'd go 15 pound and then 20 pound for more swim jigs, and then 30 pound and above for top water and swim baits for braid. And then bluegill and crappie, I wouldn't use braid for them unless you're tying on a leader, and that's not quite beginning fishing. So if you're just starting out and you're looking for panfish and bass and you're just looking for an overall great line, go fluorocarbon 15 pound. I use Seaguar. It's a yellow box. It's around $15, I want to say. I would start there. Another good brand would be your Fireline. Not Fireline, P-Line. Their fluorocarbon brand, not their coated line, if that makes sense. You might have to be listening to this as you're shopping. I'm sorry. Okay, so moving on. Forgot to mention, for braid, brand-wise, you're either going to switch or go to Power Pro or, why can't I think of it? Suffix 832. That's your basic, they're the highest competitors of braid the line. I use Suffix 832 for my swim jigs and my crankbaits, and then I use Power Pro for my topwater, because Power Pro, I think, floats a little bit more. And that just might be my own head getting to me, but I really do think it floats more. Speaking of floating, position of fish. So crappie are usually in schools. They're going to be hanging out around the trees, around the lily pads, around the edges of the lake or pond you're going to. They love structure. Like this winter, we dropped a ton of Christmas trees or evergreens, whatever you call them, pine trees. We tied them off to cinder blocks and sent them down into the water. And I guarantee you next spring, there will be beyond numbers of crappie down there. They love structure more than any other fish, and they swim in schools. So if you're catching one crappie, I guarantee you, you will catch at least like five more in that spot. And crappie don't really wander around. They kind of just stick in their schools and then they kind of move as a group. Bass, on the other hand, they're weird, especially during spring. So that's their spawn. You might hear a lot of spawn things come up in the fishing community, and that's when bass are laying eggs, and they're fattening up again for those eggs, and they're going to be the biggest that they are, just because they're holding all those eggs. So that's usually when you're catching your personal bests and your PRs and stuff, is when they're sitting on their beds, well, not quite sitting on them, but right before they're actually spawning. So they still have the eggs and they haven't released them yet. That's early spring, so April, March-ish area, around the Midwest, I'd say. And then, so the fish cycles is obviously the spawn, pre-spawn, spawn, post-spawn. And then you get your summer months where they kind of are really hot and they're really annoyed. and they're a little bit harder to catch. And then you get your fall time bass, and then you get they kind of load up before the fall. Most fish do, and they're starting into their lethargic phase where they're not going to eat as much in general. So it's important to fish for them then too, because that's also when you're going to be catching your personal best, because they're fattening up for winter. And then winter, obviously, they don't really bite as much. So ice fishing, if you ice fish, oh my gosh, bless your soul. I don't know how you do it. Okay, so that's starting on the fish. Walleye, you're never going to really hear me talk a two ton about walleye and catfish, just because I don't have as much experience with them. Hopefully this upcoming open water season, I'm going to learn a lot more about them. I've got more lures for them, and then especially muskie too. I'm getting into muskie fishing. And then that was where to fish at. So crappie, especially in the lily pads and weeds and structure, and points, especially points. That's where you gotta look for bass too. So any point in the water where you see kind of an offshoot of land, you gotta look for those, because bass are usually on the edge of those or right on the point. And then if you ever swim where you're fishing at, weirdly enough, that's so helpful, because you can kind of feel for those drop-offs. Where the sand kind of just drops off. It's like if you were to look at an ocean and like it's like teal water and then it goes straight to like black water, that's that drop off where it goes from like 4 to 5 foot all the way to 14 foot. Bass are kind of hanging out there. Most fish are hanging out there too, because they like the, I don't know what they like about it, but they like it. So I'd look there too. So especially beginning fishing, make sure you're fishing on the edge of the water and towards those points and towards that structure. Okay, I'm gonna call that quits for this podcast. If you have any other questions about how to start fishing, oh, you know what? I missed the lures. Okay, this might be a little bit longer podcast. I went too in depth. Okay, so for lures, we're just gonna say this quick. So crappie, get yourself a good grub. I usually use yellow, not like your chartreuse yellow, but more of like your macaroni and cheese yellow. Best way to describe it, I'm sorry. Macaroni and cheese yellow grub, and that's like your little, it looks like a little mealworm-ish, not really. Get about a half inch. Nope, that's too big. I can't think of it. I can image it. It's about the size of a chapstick lid top. Little bit longer than that. Excuse my reference. And then get yourself some jig heads. 16th ounce is perfect. I always get white, black, and then red. And I alternate between the three. What works good, weirdly enough, is black with a yellow eye. That same color of yellow that is on the macaroni and cheese grub. Pair those up together. I don't know what it does, but it's killer. It works good for crappie. And then for bass, get yourself some cinkos, some green pumpkin cinkos. It's gonna be looks like a spaghetti noodle, but like big. Don't know how to describe it. And then bullet weights, 1/4 ounce again, smaller bullet weights, and then offset shank hooks that are 4-aught. And then you might have to just ask, okay, so where you're shopping at, if you're at a Cabela's or a Bass Pro or a Scheels, ask one of those workers, how do you rig this? And they will tell you, I guarantee you. But rig it, Texas rigs are great, wacky style. So get yourself some split shots, put that on there too. And then that's for crappie, bass. And then bluegill, you can kind of double up with crappie, that you'll be throwing the same thing as them. And then, walleye and catfish, don't ask me, I don't know. Catfish, I know cut bait works good, so if you're catching bluegills, cut those up, use that as catfish bait. All right, we're gonna call that good. I'm almost reaching 20 minutes. I'm so sorry. All right, you guys have a good one.